suburbs of Tampa Bay, Florida, you may have heard an eerie sound in the night. As you drift off to dreamland, you not only hear a strange low rumbling, you feel it in your chest. As you sit up, you realize your windows are shaking. The dog across the street starts barking. You run to the window, but there's nothing there. And you can't tell where the sound is coming from, but it's all around you. The black drumfish is the watcher in the water, the drums in the deep, and they are coming. In life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Gaspar, Lottie and Aubrey Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a percussive Pisces, but more on that later.
I wonder if that's part of the zodiac horoscope thing. Like, you're good at drums if you're a Pisces. You must love drums.
No, that's too specific.
No, it's, well, I mean, most people love to hear drums, at least, in some capacity. It's like, oh yeah, I like the djembe. That's me.
Yeah. It would be like, you enjoy rhythm.
Yeah, it would be rhythm. It's like, okay, who doesn't enjoy some sort of rhythm?
I do love rhythm.
Like, no, the only songs I listen to are based off of the way that they walk across Arrakis to not call the sandworms. But yeah, we're talking about the black drum fish. Jazz. Which is also called the drummer. Little drummer boy. We're going to call it here the beatbox bass and the caudal cat collar, which will become very apparent later. But let's taxonomize this fishy boy. It's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. Class, it's fish, so we're in Actinopterygii. The order is, here we go, Acanthuriformes. It was actually easier than it looked like it was going to be. The family is Cyanidae. The genus is Pogonias. And the species is Chromis. Pogonias Chromis. Aren't pogonias, isn't that a flower?
No, it's a place where you get piercings in the mall.
Patagonia.
Piercing pogonia? Wait, no, I've lost it.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Pagoda.
Pagoda. No, a pagoda is like a multi-tiered structure in East Asia. Like
Pagoda.
Yeah, that's like one, like a Japanese pagoda is like a one of those towers with multiple rooms.
Oh yeah. Like at Epcot.
Yeah, and Patagonia is a region in Argentina, so we're all over the place here. I'm pretty sure pagonias is a kind of flower. But
I think it's a bee.
It's spelled differently. Anyway, we are going to dive a little bit further into this because it's time for my favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. This is the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question. And that question is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Pogonias Chromis? Begonia. Yeah, you're right. You just sent me the... Yeah, it's begonias. That's right. But we're talking about begonias. So, does Pogonius chromus mean A, silver drum, B, multicolored fins, C, bearded fish, or D, spiny jaw?
Multicolored fin, final answer.
That is incorrect. The answer is bearded
fish. I knew it was a red herring.
That's because that red herring is a fish. And it's a color.
What the heck is chromis?
Because it's not C-H-R-O-M-I-S. It's not the, what is the, Latin for color. It's Greek for fish.
If I had seen the word, I would have.
And pogonias means, is also Greek for beard. Fish with a beard, bearded fish. Which makes sense. And which will make sense as soon as I describe this fish to you. The black drum fish has a large cylindrical body with dark gray to blackish coloration. It kind of has the shape of a snapper, if you've ever seen a snapper. It has vertical stripes or bars along its sides. That kind of helps with camouflage or pattern disruption with the light filtering through the waves. One of its main distinguishing features is it has these really big fleshy lips that are ideally suited for bottom feeding, which we'll go into later. It also has rounded teeth that are specifically for crushing very hard objects. And also its jaw is very powerful so that it can crush these objects. And it has these little spines under its lower jaw. These are called barbels. They use them to help them locate food. So the black drum fish spends a lot of its time at the bottom of the estuary or the harbor or the ocean. And it uses these barbels to kind of scrape along the bottom. So it does have this beard of just like single hairs sticking down. And when it comes across its food, it will crunch down with its weird lips and strong jaws, rounded teeth. It also has a long dorsal fin. And multiple spines along the length of that dorsal fin. So it is a pretty big fish with not a lot of natural predators. So how big is it, Joe?
What an excellent question.
I knew it was a good question.
Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourselves saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, which means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos gets to guest. Guess who it is?
Bring it on.
We're going to a fish. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
Finally found out where that little hairy hebelop lives, catfish.
Doesn't look like it's gonna do us much good, though, Chief.
What do you mean? Why, I'm gonna keep him.
But boss, look at all those milk bottles and newspapers. Harry must be on vacation.
He can't do that to me. Come on, catfish. I'll find that sneaky hebelop if I have to comb every ocean in the world.
Is this made by the same people that made that aardvark and ant show? From 1910 times?
Made by the Pink Panther people, yes.
It sounds like it.
Who made
it.
The Pink Panther?
DePatie
and Frilang.
Yeah, I have.
That character's name is Mr. Jaw.
Mr. Jaw.
He's a shark. And he sounds like the guy that from Madagascar. I keep thinking Maurice, but that was the little guy.
Julian?
Julian.
He sounds like Sacha Baron Cohen. I was getting a New Yorker from the 40s to the 60s.
Talk about its length.
Mm-hmm.
The black drumfish typically grows from 12 to 24 inches or 30 to 60 centimeters in length as they mature. And they could reach a maximum length of about 67 inches or 170 centimeters. We're going to go with the upper end of average, though, so 24 inches.
2 feet.
How many drumfish go into the length of Jose Gasparilla the second? It's probably Gasparilla.
Gasparilla?
Napoleon, make yourself a dang Gasparilla.
I think of sarsaparilla.
Here's a hint. The Jose Gasparilla II is a pirate ship that is used in a Tampa Bay festival that shares its name, the Gasparilla Festival. The festival celebrates the mythical pirate Gaspar and the real history of piracy in Tampa. Gaspar is unfortunately pure myth, but there were actual real pirates in Tampa Bay.
That's probably why they're called the... They've got the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
60 feet. Length of this ship. So the answer is 30. 30 black drumfish go into the length of this pirate ship.
Final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is 68. 0.5.
Ooh, that's a long one. I always thought pirates were in these like smaller sloop kind of ships, and it's pretty rare for them to be in a big ship. So I was kind of hoping that I would use my knowledge of general piracy to.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Gasparilla, the second, is actually a flat bottom barge. It's built to look like a pirate ship.
Uh-huh.
It's 137 feet in length. Make it a real pirate ship.
Yeah, just build a real pirate ship if you're going to charge tourists to be on it.
Build a frigate, you cowards.
Yeah, but then it's like, man, we build ships just so much better now than they did back then. I do not want to have to maintain a real wooden, like, galleon or whatever, man of war, for tourist purposes. I would much rather get, like, a ship that's going to last me 100 years and just put some wood around it.
True.
Makes sense. I'd probably do the same thing.
Let's talk weight. They're 5 to 30 pounds or 2.3 to 1 or 13 kilograms. So they also can grow to the largest ever recorded was like 113 pounds, 51 kg.
So like a 5.5 foot, 113 pound fish. That's a big fish.
Uh-huh. So how many drumfish go into the weight of the largest drum?
What was the weight again? The upper end of average for that? Well, am I right? What's the hint?
The hint is that the largest drum known as Cheon Go was built by Yeong Dong Gun.
Now, you were hoping that I wouldn't ask for the hint.
The local government of Yeongdonggun and Seuk Jay Lee in Simcheon Mayon. I don't know what any of those things are. Those are,
you were really
those
hoping
could be
I wouldn't
people
have.
Or towns or municipalities. It's the Dong Gun says local government. This is from the Guinness Book of World Records, and it says built by Yeong Dong Gun local government. What the heck does that mean? Anyway, that's
that
in
sounds
South
like
Korea.
A, that definitely sounds like a town or a region.
Yeah, but which one of those three names was a person?
No, it was just like built by the, you know, Mount Dora local government.
But there's three names. What are the other three? One of them is a place. It's because it, the other two are in that place.
No idea. Where is it?
It could be a maybe it was a person in and a local government in a town in Korea or in a province in Korea.
1,500 pounds. No. I'm going to say it's 3,000 pounds. Watch. It's probably something like 3,000 tons. Because it's this really long, big, like, it's not just this big animal skin or whatever stretched over a rim. It's like this tunnel. But whatever, I'm going 3,000 pounds. Which means that my answer is 100, since it's 30 pounds. So 100. That can't, that. It sounds so bad. Like it's just 100 fish for the world's largest drum. I'll put another zero. Maybe I should have gone with my gut. 1,000 fish.
Final answer.
That is insane. A 30,000 pound drum. But yes, yeah. Final answer. 1,000 fish.
The correct answer is 466.6 fish.
I would have been closer if I said 100. Darn it.
The drum is 7 tons, or 15,432 pounds.
Interesting.
Tough break. You were actually that was like a hitting the a 7. That was like a 7-10 split there. Because you, it was right in the middle of both of your guesses.
I'm proud of myself a little bit for having not been like for not thinking like it was just 3,000 pounds. It's 5 times heavier than I was initially thinking. So, all right, are we done with Measure Up?
We sure are.
Let's go through some general info, some fast facts before we get into the major fact. The black drum fish lives all over the place. Not absolutely everywhere, but it is widely distributed. It lives in the Western Atlantic, from Nova Scotia to Florida, all the way around to the Gulf of Mexico, in the South Caribbean. The only
it's
time
Caribbean.
That you say Caribbean is when you're talking about the Disney ride and movie, the South Caribbean coast. And they are so like the greatest concentration is in the Gulf of Mexico along near Texas and all around along the eastern seaboard up to Canada. When they're little tykes, they like to eat zooplankton. And when they get a little bit older and they become juveniles, they eat worms. But as adults, they eat mollusks and crabs off the seafloor, which explains why they have such unique or customized mouth parts. The large fleshy lips, the rounded teeth, powerful jaws, little spines to comb the seafloor. Looking for looking for mollusks. Oysters is a big thing. They like to congregate near oyster beds, and they can really do some damage to oyster beds, much to the chagrin of people that farm oysters. Which must be like having like a locust or beetle infestation in your crops. Or a wolf come and eat all your sheep. They have these strong, rounded pharyngeal teeth that allow them to just not have to try to open like an oyster to get inside there. Really hard when you don't have fingers or a brain that can do that. So they just put it in their mouth and crush it and have a good time with it. They are regularly fished and served as food. Not like the best food, apparently. I'm not a big fish eater. And when I say not a big fish eater, I mean I don't eat fish at all. But from what I could tell, it's okay. So if it's okay from a fish standpoint, it's got to be pretty bad for someone who does not like fish. Like as opposed to something like cod or salmon or catfish or something like that, where it's like, oh, even people that don't like fish can like this. Black drum fish takes some getting used to. The oldest black drum fish in the wild was died at 44 years old, which is a really long time for a fish to live. I mean, not in comparison to like the Greenland shark, but still.
Think about all the thoughts and experiences it never had.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, like, it's head empty, no thoughts. It's smooth brain all the way. Like, it does not... Its thought has been... Oyster? That's it. It's for 44 years, it thought oyster. And then it died. It's a really, really short biography of this fish. As adults, as juveniles, they are eaten by larger fish, oftentimes within the same family, like sea trout. As adults, though, they are large enough to not really have very many natural predators. But of course, sharks are always the boys you need to look out for. And fishing rods, I guess. That poses a real existential threat. Other than that, I couldn't really find a lot of behavioral info. Most of the information I could find was about how to fish for them. So I'll leave it at that and let you tell us about something a little bit more major.
Okie dokie. I'm calling this major fact night drumming. I should have called it Percussive Pisces, but I already used that. last year, Tampa residents reported hearing low humming bass noises vibrating through residential areas. The sound was so loud that it would shake windows and wake up babies at night. One resident said, "I hope the cops catch whoever is making that sound before I do." So you can.
It sounds like my neighbor.
You could get a feel for how frustrating it was. I mean, if sound was disrupting your children's reflective tranquility in the wee small hours, you would be pretty upset.
I am pretty upset because I have a neighbor like that. So I know I'm my blood is already set to boil.
Oh, your neighbor disrupts your reflective tranquility. I thought he gets mad at noises in the neighborhood.
No, my neighbor plays loud music and also has a car that is louder than most jet engines. So, and I have small children.
So that you know he's cool.
I kind of want the government to take his license away forever. So, anyway.
But then he'll only be home playing music.
I would rather play music than ever get into that car again. And I want to take the car, I want to throw it into a river and throw the river into the sun.
So there were many theories offered up to as to what this sound was up to, and including aliens. But the real answer is almost stranger, not quite, but almost stranger. Black drumfish are known for producing distinctive deep sounds, especially during their spawning season. So it turns out the leading theory is that there are black drumfish at certain times of year in Tampa Bay shaking everyone's windows with sound. So these sounds are created by the contraction of muscles against their swim bladder, which acts like, you know, a drum. The sonic muscles function as the drumstick against their swim bladder, I guess. Like, that's how there's muscles that bounce against their swim bladder. That's got to feel like bubble gut.
Yeah.
Or maybe it feels like really unpleasant. Like satisfying. Like a yoga om. The sound is often referred to as drumming, because it literally is percussion against two things, you know, vibrating.
Like a cricket's legs.
Yeah. So drumming is used to communicate, establish territories, and attract potential mates. The low frequency sounds they can produce can be very loud and transmit a lot of energy over a long distance. So the lower the frequency, the farther sound travels, I suppose.
Yeah, we learned that with like lions and their like low frequency roars, and with elephants being able to like these really low frequency sounds they can pick up through their feet from miles away.
So they can range from 60 to 1,000 hertz, with the most of their acoustic energy concentrated around or below 400 hertz. So I don't know what any of that means, but that if you know a thing or two about hertz, that'll mean something to you.
I can rent cars from hertz.
True. So why do they drum? They usually do it during specific behaviors, like mating, courtship, or territorial disputes. So you could have a drumline battle if you're like, if your neighbor plants a hedge a little too far on your property line.
You just get a black drumfish instead of like a drummer and a fife for your fife player for your Revolutionary War.
And shake his windows. So during the breeding season, male black drumfish create humming sounds to attract females. These underwater serenades serve as a single source of... I wanted to keep the S's going, but serve as a signal of readiness to mate. The vibrations travel through the water and let everyone anywhere near you know that you're single and ready to mingle.
A single source of sensual sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Sense and sensibilities.
Black drumfish are known to be territorial, so humming could also be a warning to other fish that, like, look, this is my drum zone. I drum here.
This is my drum circle.
But speaking of these drum circles, like, part of the reason it's so dang loud is that there's thousands of them congregating together. So you've got thousands of low frequency, loud sounds just humming through Tampa.
Imagine like having your head underwater during that time.
Just, like, yeah, I wonder if it could like damage your eardrums, like a, or if it's
like a radar, like how loud radar is.
Yeah, I was thinking of how a sperm whale can actually hurt you and kill you with its sounds.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you're close enough. Or like it's the bees that vibrate against a wasp to heat it up to death.
Oh yeah, those hot the hot murder hugs. They all get together and hug a wasp and vibrate until it melts. Because their cooking temperature is like 1 degree higher than the wasp.
Yeah. But that's all I got for that. Imagine like for like weeks, a weird low frequency sound is like shaking your, if it's shaking the windows, it could be setting off like sensitive like alarms too.
Yeah. You're like, it's either aliens or MK Ultra. I don't like either option.
It's fish in the ocean. Just Poseidon's wrath.
they're just out there humming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just singing spirituals out there.
Down by the river. All right, that's the black drum fish. So for you out there in Podcastia, use your strong beard to eat a boatload of oysters. Keep an eye out for sharks and drop that bass when you're sweet talking the ladies like the black drum fish here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Favorite in the World podcast.